And with that, I'd like to hand over to Jeff Davis for director's comments.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have my comments down here in writing, and so I'll be reading quite a bit from them. And I think that's really important from my perspective, because this is a pretty complex emotional issue, especially with the Copper Creek Pack. And I just want to acknowledge that and make sure that my thoughts are really organized in providing my director comments. So with that, obviously we're here today because of the desire shown at the Glenwood Springs meeting to be responsive and responsible to this complicated issue and how best to manage depredating wolves moving forward. Your deliberation showed you take your roles as commissioner seriously, wanting to understand the additional management options available, including weighing a motion to direct CPW staff to remove additional members of the PAC responsible for the Pitkin County depredations. But you also showed your commitment to responsible stewardship in ultimately wanting additional factual information relevant to such a significant decision, as well as a desire to understand the legal constraints of such a decision and the legal issues surrounding whether the commission can make this kind of a decision or if that's the responsibility of the division. Probably not satisfactory, but there's no bright line answer to that question. The short answer on whether the commission can direct the division to take a specific removal action is not entirely clear. While the statute setting up the duties of the commission gives the commission broad authority and oversight of my role as director, the same statute also clarifies that my role has the control over all activities of the division. Other statutes that confer power to the commission tend to speak in terms of the commission exercising rulemaking authority and oversight, not taking more specific actions like conducting investigations or making management decisions. However, the regulations issued by the commission in preparation for the wolf reintroduction specifically identified the division as the entity that will make the decision on lethal wolf removal. So the commission has already delegated this type of decision on wolves to the division. That's also reflected in the wolf management plan approved by the commission that generally frames CPW as the entity that is implementing all relevant aspects of the plan, including dealing with depredating wolves. So the question of authority doesn't have a bright line answer, but to the extent that this commission already prepared for how to address these types of issues, its regulations and the wolf plan indicate that these specific lethal removal decisions are entrusted to the division. Now, that doesn't obviously mean that the commission can't change course in the future or adopt a regulation directing how the division makes these types of decisions, but that's, in my opinion, where we are today. I want to suggest also to you today that getting mired in the questions of who has authority to make the ultimate removal decisions is something of a distraction, in my opinion. It seems to set the commission and the division at odds, and when in fact we're at the same goal. We're shooting for the same goal here. So if we keep our eye on that goal, I submit to you that allowing the division to continue to implement on-the-ground management decisions, including whether and how to exercise lethal control options, is the best way to realize that goal. Going into the reintroduction effort, we knew wolf depredation would occur, but that doesn't lessen the impact when it did. CPW has been responsive on these issues, even if it took a more conservative approach than some would prefer. For example, not lethally removing Copper Creek Pack last year because it did not have the chronic depredation definition or policy, and re-release the pack in a different area to test whether pack behavior would change. We responsibly analyzed the relevant legal arguments and requirements from both the federal and state law and the commission's regulations and came up with our administrative directive. This was also in conjunction with coordinating with a wolf ad hoc committee made up of wolf advocates and producers, as well as CDA representatives and CPW staff. The details and factual findings required to support a lethal removal decision include chronic depredation is three or more depredation events by the same wolf or wolves in a 30-day period with clear and convincing evidence for at least one of those events. Clear and convincing evidence is defined as having the physical evidence that leaves no room for serious doubt that a wolf was responsible for physical trauma resulting in injury or death to livestock or working dogs. And we also need factual findings that the producer has utilized a variety of non-lethal conflict minimization materials and techniques, that additional wolf-related depredations will continue if lethal control is not implemented, and that there were no attractants luring wolves to the site. If a decision is made to conduct a lethal removal, the AD describes the stepwise approach to such an action. This allows lethal removal to be targeted to the minimum removals necessary to change the pack behavior and reduce future possible depredations. I think that's a key point in this, is that these lethal removals are intended to try to alter the pack's behavior in their focus on livestock as a primary food source. It is contemplated and allowable to continue to remove problematic wolves after the first targeted attempt, but there's no sense in starting at the end, which undercuts our overall goal of building a self-sustaining population of wolves in the state. If we can get there with removing only one problem wolf and changing pack behavior, then that will get us to our goal faster than potentially needlessly removing an entire pack at one go. Such a stepwise approach also comports with ESA. The gray wolf is still a federally protected species, and any kind of take, let alone killing a wolf, is generally prohibited. We only have these management flexibilities because of the Fish and Wildlife Service's 10J experimental populations rule, as you know. But that statute, in allowing more lenient protections for experimental populations, still recognizes that those experimental populations need to further the conservation of the species. We should not be indeterminately removing more wolves than we need to in order to address the human-wolf conflicts, as this runs contrary to the ESA, and such repeated overuse of the removal authority could risk the continued application of the ESA 10J management flexibilities that we currently have. With the depredation events in May 2025, CPW made a fairly real-time decision to implement chronic depredation and authorize lethal removal. Chronic depredation is defined again as three or more depredation events by the same wolf or wolves within a 30-day period, provided there's clear and convincing evidence that at least one of the depredation events was caused by a wolf or wolves. As detailed in the June 17, 2025 report on the lethal removal, the depredation event that occurred on May 24th was the third event after having clear and convincing evidence, which was determined in connection with the second event on May 23rd, as the May 17th event was determined to only meet the preponderance of evidence standard. And while staff is going to go through this decision with you in more detail later in the meeting, we'll have a presentation by staff on all the things we have been doing and kind of the current situation next after the chair comments. We were able to gather information that we needed in order to be able to satisfy the legal requirements and the factual and evidentiary standards of the administrative directive, make the lethal removal decision, and implement that lethal removal by May 29th, just 5 days after the chronic depredation definition was met in these circumstances. Now, recall that I said earlier that is unclear whether the commission has the authority to issue a lethal removal order, meaning that it's possible that you could have assigned yourself that role in either the wolf management plan or in state regulation. But imagine how the events at the end of May would have unfolded in such a situation. The first depredation event occurred 9 days after the May commission meeting wrapped. And then we had three depredation events over the Memorial holiday weekend. even if we had come to you on Sunday, May 25th, with when the chronic depredation definition was arguably met, how much longer would it have taken for the commission to convene a special meeting with legally required notice and for staff to be able to pull relevant factual materials together that would be needed for you to evaluate to satisfy the legal requirements as well as the administrative directive, and then deliberate on whether to authorize the lethal removal of a yearling that we removed on May 29th. Would we still be talking about that decision at the Glenwood Springs meeting 2 weeks later? Question. For making and implementing on-the-ground management decisions like this, that additional delay does not serve the producers being impacted, nor does it benefit the wolves themselves. If the situation warrants lethal removal, and our goal is to modify pack behavior to protect both the producers as well as the direct the wolves back to hunting elk and deer, then we want to be able to implement a targeted removal effort as early as possible to benefit both the producers and to preserve the instincts and wild behavior of the pack. You may disagree with me. Probably won't be the first or last time. These decisions, in my opinion, are best left to CPW. After all, we're here today because there was an initial motion then withdrawn to direct us to capture and remove the entire pack in Pitkin County. Setting aside the issue of who should make the decision, as my staff will detail with you later in the meeting, we don't think that it is necessary at this point. Since the last commission meeting in June, our staff has continued to focus on proactive deterrent measures to mitigate further impacts to livestock by this pack. Again, as I referenced before, our Northwest Region Deputy Director Garrett Watson and Area Wildlife Manager Matt Yamashita will present an update on the pack and our efforts today. Additionally, I want you to know that Deputy Director DeWalt and myself visited with the impacted producers in the area on June 27th. And I want to express deep appreciation to those producers for having us sit with them and hear their story and see the physical and mental impacts that these animals are having on them, their families, and their operations. And I want to thank them for the honest and open conversation. Colorado's wolf restoration program is challenging and historic, and it takes trust and partnerships to succeed for everyone. Wolf restoration came about through the vote of the people, and we also recognize that these folks, these are folks across Colorado that are directly and indirectly affected by this law and how it's implemented. And since the operation to remove this pack from Middle Park last year, CPW's conflict minimization program has greatly expanded. I know there were statements or questions about we're in the same place or it's not any better. And I just want to assert that that is not the case at all. Now, could we adaptively learn and adjust? For sure. Will we need to continue to expand some of our programs? Likely. But our program is in a very different place than it was last year. Along with doubling our staff focused on wolf livestock conflict, deploying a range rider program, conducting workshops and training with staff and producers across the state, deploying a wide variety of non-lethal tools, focusing on improving on-the-ground day-to-day and release communications, we also now have a definition of chronic depredation and used it in this case, in the case of this pack recently. We are a learning organization and continue to adapt and learn as we move forward with this program. We must continue to invest in training, resources, tools, partnership, and our staff. We also have a number of wolves on our landscape who are not involved in conflict with livestock. I think that was a common message in some of the public comments, like we are focused on a small number of wolves when a greater proportion of the wolf population in Colorado is not mired in conflicts. Wolf restoration in Colorado is a challenging effort, and our regional and headquarters staff continue to work together to successfully restore a sustainable population of gray wolves in Colorado and resolve conflicts with livestock as mandated. As public servants, we seek to provide superior public service for all, and balancing the loud voices at opposite ends of the spectrum and in opposition of each other. And this task as a public servant is what we signed up for, but it's tremendously stressful as well. It's easy to sit in one's own perspective and without all the information think that your perspective is the correct and the right one, sometimes the only one in my experience. And the demand that the agency do what you think is right in the way that you see it needing to be done. Whereas the agency must consider all perspectives based on the facts of the situation and the science, and again, create solutions that maximize the number of benefits for the greatest number of beneficiaries, while doing everything we can to take care of those most directly impacted. In my opinion, you know, we serve as an agency, but we serve the whole public, and part of public trust is bringing people together to have dialogue with each other, to share their stories, their knowledge scripts with one another, listen to each other, and work together with the agency to create durable solutions moving forward, rather than othering people or villainizing particular people across the landscape around the issues. We have to move forward, in my opinion, beyond the noise and continue to build relationships and trust together. And CPW and myself are fully committed to doing just that. That concludes my comments, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Director Davis.